our series on American icons continues. It's the motorcycle with all the chrome and the distinctive roar, the biker's bike, the Harley-Davidson. Since he was 14 years old, independent radio producer Jay Allison has owned and ridden dozens of motorcycles. He's taken a Harley-Davidson Fat Boy down Arizona's Apache Trail, an electric glide up the Pacific Coast Highway, and a V-Rod through Yellowstone National Park. He starts us off at Bike Week in Laconia, New Hampshire.
There's only one minivan parked at the biker bar, and it's mine. I drove the minivan because I brought my wife and baby up to Bike Week for their good company. But it's not really a family event.
And these motorcycles are like you hot women. They all have their own souls.
This is the legendary biker bar, the Broken Spokes Saloon.
By the way, we got PBS radio in the house.
I'd have fit in better here arriving on a motorcycle, but I'd be especially welcome on a Harley.
Harley Davidson!
This is the Broken Spokes Loud Pipes Contest, where a bunch of bikes line up in the backyard of the bar and compete for best exhaust sound.
The central identifying element of the Harley-Davidson is the sound of its exhaust.
The Harley-Davidson is a loud, raucous, vibrating...
It's a V-twin.
Lumbering.
And then it goes boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom.
Massive.
Two very big pistons going up and down.
Great lengths have been taken to assure that every Harley-Davidson has that same signature potato, 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 potato exhaust.
The potato, potato thing is really important. It's a vibration tied so directly to the hearts of riders and potential buyers that in the 1990s, Harley-Davidson responded to competition from Japanese manufacturers who were making Harley knockoffs by trying to trademark the sound. It didn't work, but it gives you an idea how much it matters.
Today, even, you know, I've been around motorcycles my entire life, I will hear a Harley-Davidson coming, and still in my brain, it triggers, oh, here comes a really powerful motorcycle. It must be going 100 miles an hour, and then the Harley-Davidson goes by at 20 miles an hour. It has done its job.
A solidness and energy and forcefulness that people could respect, and that sense of American pride and might. Maybe we're nostalgic and wanting to hold on to that, and Harley-Davidson is a good way to do that.
So the very sound of this motorcycle is connected to America. Power and freedom flow from loud pipes tied to a big shiny engine. These are heavyweight machines. They look solid. Some have bags and chrome and lights galore. Others are stripped down. The hallmark is the V-twin engine in a low-slung frame. And there's very little plastic in these bikes. They look like the industrial power of America in its prime.
To many people in America, a motorcycle is a Harley-Davidson.
Early in the 20th century, there were over 200 motorcycle manufacturers, and Harley was the only remaining. So in terms of a specifically American icon, well, they're the only game in town.
Stephen Alford and Suzanne Ferris wrote the book Motorcycle, and they teach at Nova Southeastern University in Florida.
It has had a long history, 100 years of history, of service in the military for America by police defending Americans.
A person can purchase a Harley-Davidson and then participate in this grand tradition of playing the cowboy. Rather than riding on his steed, he can ride on his iron horse out into the open interstates of the United States.
And that's not the only American mythology Harley taps into. The image embraces both the patriot and the outlaw. That's an apparent contradiction, but of course our patriotism is rooted in rebelliousness.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
The Hell's Angels are as much a part of the Harley image as the Highway Patrol. Harley-Davidson was the logical choice for returning veterans and for Easy Rider-inspired hippies.
It is an American icon. It's about freedom. It's about friendship. It's about faithfulness.
And I think if Jesus came back today, he'd probably ride one. But that's a whole other, that's a saga for another day.
Dave Aiken lives near me. He's a deacon in the Catholic Church and officiates the motorcycle blessing here every spring. He rides a 1988 Electra Glide with a stuffed gorilla on the back. He wears a long silver ponytail and embodies the range of Harley's core appeal. An older white guy, former fire chief, now a real estate agent, and a veteran.
I mean, there's my leather vest with the patches on it that I have that represent rides I've taken, represent people who have died. I've been to the wall in Washington, I think, four times. And that pride does kind of translate to Harley Davidson.
Would you buy another brand at this point?
Never. No. No, I will ride a Harley Davidson as long as I can get my leg over one. So, and I'll be 68 in a week, so far so good. And I'm just not as cute, I'm a freak real cool. I got the jump, got the jive, got the magic jump
alive. I'm a wife, I'm a wild one. Ooh, yeah, I'm a wild one. Harley riders are getting older, it's a fact. And it makes sense because when you're young and fast and light, there are other less expensive motorcycles to fit you. You don't mind crouching forward to grab clip-on handlebars and lean into the corners with a high revving engine screaming between your legs. In fact, that's how you feel. But as you get slower and stiffer and larger, there's a Harley waiting for you. There will be peace in the valley. You can lounge into it, happy enough to watch the world passing by, going in a straight line down those long, straight American roads, not necessarily wanting to hurry so much anymore.
The boomer generation, they're turning 65 today. So if you look at the sales figures of Harley-Davidson, the average age of Harley-Davidson customers, it's advanced essentially 1 year per year ever since the 80s.
That's Charles Falco. He was co-curator of the renowned motorcycle exhibition at the Guggenheim Museum. His academic credentials are not exactly motorcycle related.
I hold the University of Arizona Chair of Condensed Matter Physics.
But he has the world's largest library of motorcycle books in English, and he owns 17 bikes. Falco thinks that Harley's status came not just from its own marketing and branding, but from other companies, everyone from American Express to Burberry's, inserting Harleys in their advertising.
Their product represents freedom just as Harley-Davidson represents freedom. And so iconic status comes from other people's marketing division.
The brand itself has generated such intense loyalty, even aggressive loyalty. And I mean, I can't really think of another brand which is maybe so often tattooed on the bodies of its owners and enthusiasts. What do you think accounts for that?
It's a valid observation. I mean, you know, McDonald's would wish that the customers liked McDonald Big Macs so much they would tattoo McDonald's on them. Harley-Davidson owners do that. Motorcycles appeal to your sense of sight, sound, touch, and smell. And for that reason, people who are really attracted to motorcycles are very much attracted to them.
I don't drive a car and I don't ride a truck. I ride all year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Manchester, New Hampshire.
You ride up here in the winter?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I only do one thing.
Kip took second place in the Loud Pipes competition at the Broken Spoke Saloon in Laconia. And he is dedicated to his 1978 Harley Sportster, not least because of its country of origin.
It's America, man. It's America.
It's that simple.
It is that simple. I mean, we have a certain belief in our country, and I mean, the vets started it, and I'm a vet. And it's just, we're loyal to each other. I don't know about the Hondas or the Kawasaki guys, but we don't leave a man behind, ever. And that's what Harley's all about.
Kip travels with all the tools he needs to rebuild his bike. He's customized it in all kinds of ways, including a scabbard for a samurai sword down the fork tubes. It's guys like Kip, the hardcore bikers with mechanical skills who remake their bikes to suit their identities. These are the riders at the magnetic center of the Harley image.
The newer bikers that go to a shop and buy a bike, their buying the bike is based on Harley's success in making people identify with the old school biker.
Michael Lichter is a motorcycle photographer from Boulder, Colorado.
And there was a tradition of working on these things to keep them on the road, but in the process of doing that, you made it more who you were. And I think Harley has done a great job marketing that to doctors and dentists. Isn't there a side of you that wants to feel that sense of freedom and get out on the open road and let go of all those obligations and commitments and just enjoy what's out there with the wind in your face?
I know it's a corporation, but for a lot of us, the brand is it's inbred. It's part of our bodies.
Charlie St. Clair is the executive director of the Laconia Bike Rally in New Hampshire. He's sitting on his 2000 Harley Heritage Softail just off the main road at Weir's Beach. When he says his bike is part of his body, he's not kidding.
You scratch your motorcycle, it might as well be scratching my arm. You know, it brings a little bit of pain. You can get emotional if you really think about it. Now, I did go to a wedding once, a marriage, where a guy married his motorcycle. And this was a dead serious marriage. The guy had a minister there. He was legally bound to his motorcycle. He was going to be buried with that thing.
Was it a Harley?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So,
not all motorcycle lovers love Harleys, of course. They may inspire national pride, but they also embody some undesirable American qualities. Overweight, aggressively loud, unsophisticated, consumptive. And the downside of their macho branding is that many riders want no part of it. I have to confess, I don't want to be part of an image or a brand or a club. I ride mostly to be alone and not for fellowship or identity. Still, the myth of this American machine can hook me, especially talking to Bill Davidson. He used to be Harley's marketing VP, and now he runs the museum in Milwaukee, where the company was founded. And he's the son of legendary bike designer Willie G. Davidson and the great-grandson of one of the founders, William A. Davidson.
I started riding with my dad, Willie G., when I was 3 years old. And I tell you, when I'm here at the museum, I just about every day I walk by that first serial number one motorcycle in 1903 and say hello to my great-granddad and thank him.
If you're a red-blooded American boy or girl, this creation story has to resonate somewhere. Founded in a shed by a few friends, built from the ground up, and then handed down through the generations, it's the real stuff. These days, I own a Ducati and an old Triumph. I like them for their nimbleness and grace. It's true I don't want to sign up for the whole Harley image, but I'm not immune to the big thumping allure. I love the torquey engine. I like cruising down the highway going boom, 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 boom. And I still think of owning one someday.
Well, I hope that some of those thoughts get you to a dealership. You need to have a bike, Jay.
This is the winning motorcycle at the Broken Spoke Saloon's Loud Pipes Contest. A straight kick built from scratch by the owner, 74 cubic inch Harley engine in a shovel frame.
Don't hurt it.
As much as I love my wife and baby, I shouldn't have driven the minivan to Laconia. I should have taken one of my bikes. Some of the riders I talked to up in New Hampshire couldn't really find words to express their relationship to their Harleys. In their reticence, I think the message was, if you want to understand any of this, just shut the f*** up and ride. And they're right. For Studio 360, I'm Jay Allison.
The Harley-Davidson is one of nine new icons we're airing this fall. What's number 10? We want you to tell us. Just go to studio360.org/American Icons and tell us what you think the next American icon ought to be. Next week for American Icons, we head down to Charlottesville, Virginia, and find that there's a lot more to Thomas Jefferson's famous house than meets the eye.
I mean, he designed it, so you have to imagine this is an expression of his own personality.
Exactly.
Your home is you.
Exactly.
And so he was domed and colonnaded.
I'll talk with Stephen Colbert about Thomas Jefferson's Monticello.